Well, thank you for joining me. It's good to pray with you. And, of course, you're always welcome here. You can always send us your intentions to drew@relevantradio.com, or Maggie's going to be sharing some on the air. You can put them on our Twitter page. You can follow me at Drew Mariani Show, the show at Drew Mariani Show. And Maggie will share some of those with you. Nick is praying with me today. We'll get his intentions coming up. But I want to bring to you an intention I received yesterday. I'm going to ask you to pray for this poor family. I guess I'll keep her name anonymous. She writes, and she says, "Look, I'm sitting in the hospital ER with my 17-year-old son, Andrew. He's got COVID-19 for the second time, and he's had trouble breathing for days. They were concerned about blood clots, but true, thankfully, they've ruled that out. Now it looks like both COVID pneumonia and bacterial pneumonia. And we're all sick with COVID. My husband needs monoclonal antibodies. I need to be here for my son. I did a lot of research, and we didn't get vaccinated. I know what people are saying. I've heard it, you know, that we're foolish, that we're uneducated, that we're selfish, and we only care about ourselves by not getting vaccinated, that we deserve to get sick, that my son is taking a bed away from somebody who's more deserving. Drew, I know God loves us anyway, and I know there must be some people who would not resent us right now. We're really sick. My family could use some support. Maybe some of your listeners would love us anyway and pray for us. It would mean so much." And I'll give you her initials, JR. My heart goes out to that mother. You know, I know you did what you felt was right. It's not your fault that you have COVID. And yes, of course we're here for you. We don't resent you. And we're going to pray for God's healing touch on you and your son and your husband and your entire family. I'm really sorry that we're that divided. We can't love, and, you know, people who choose to get vaccinated, people who choose to get not vaccinated are so deeply, deeply divided over the issue. And I understand it. It can be a life-threatening situation for those who are exposed, and your family's in a situation similar. So we'll just pray for healing for that. And I want to pray for division, where there's division over the issue of COVID or within families. I know it has really destroyed some relationships, has destroyed some friendships. And I just pray for those who are facing the decision of getting vaccinated, mandates, those who are battling sickness or loss of job. So I just ask for resolution and the eradication of COVID-19. One other email here, and this is a bitter pill for any family to swallow. This person wrote to me and said, 6 months ago, our 23-year-old daughter matched online with a 25-year-old man. For 2 years, he had been in her brother's middle school, and she didn't know that. They started hanging out at a local bar, had fun playing basketball, shooting pool, golfing, skating. He did routinely proposition her to go to bed, and she told him that, you know, she didn't want to do that. And I won't go into the rest of the details. Basically says 3 days after that, we learned that when she was at his parents' house, they were watching a movie, he began to rape her. She has now sought counseling and medical care. But the mother and the father, she says, we're still quite upset by all this. And we keep thinking, we need to do something. So my husband went looking for him at his favorite haunt. He was going to deck him. In fact, he wanted to strangle him. We're considering whether we ought to tell his parents. Both of them we'd met over 10 years ago, what had happened. The bouncer at the local bar says it was not the first time he had heard rumblings of such things about this guy. And they intended to ban him. We just need wisdom and guidance on what we should do. Our daughter just texted saying that she's going to the police department now to report him. Please pray for us and that man as well, sincerely. And I guess I'll give you the name, Nellie's mom. So, we are going to pray for Nellie. We are going to pray for you. And I'm glad that she's taking legal action, because she certainly should do that. I mean, that was a crime. And, date rape so often goes unreported. And let's just pray for protection now for all who are now dating. Let's pray for all those with these violent tendencies. Let's pray for all those addicted to porn. And let's pray for all those who abuse their sexuality. Let's pray for those parents who are suffering. And look, the intentions come on. Those are just a couple that I grabbed right before the program here. But I ask you to pray for them. Those are great crosses for anyone to have to carry. And we'll ask God for his mercy. Nick joins me right now. Nick, anything you want to pray for as we kick off the chaplet?
Drew, my aunt is flying back from Rockford to Memphis, Tennessee, and so I want to pray for her safe travels and the safety of all of her kids, my cousins.
All right, we'll pray for safety and travel. Your intentions, I want to unite mine to them as well, and we'll just turn to the merciful Savior. If you're on hold, we'll do our best to get you on. If you're united to me wherever you are, know that our voices are one as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call this afternoon, and welcome to the conversation. Let's see who's up first here. Maggie, take up Mary, listening in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I have four petitions. My husband, Peter, is scheduled for a total hip replacement surgery this Friday. And he's never been in the hospital, he's never had surgery, and he's my caregiver because I've been housebound for a lot of years. So this is a big deal for us. So I'm praying that it's a success and he makes a fast recovery. And then I have some relatives who, my family members who have COVID. My brother-in-law, Carl, he's been vaccinated and he's still got COVID. And then his son, my nephew, Eric, he's got it pretty bad, can't breathe too well, short of breath, and his name is Eric. And then his daughter, our godchild, Grace, she also has it. So there's three members of the family who are suffering pretty bad. And so I'm going to pray for them. And my sister-in-law, Sandra, who is 84, is supposed to have a toe removed next Tuesday because the infection is so bad in her toe, they have to take it off. And then also on next Tuesday, my sister Joan is undergoing some medical procedures. So praying for all those people.
Well, a lot going on medically, huh? Especially as we get older, the body breaks down. We'll pray for your husband in particular. Be at peace about that. Those hip and joint replacements, they're so common now. And I'm sure he'll be glad when it's finally done and he recovers. But I know how intimidating it can be. Never been in a hospital having to go through something as serious as that. So, Mary, we'll pray for you, for your strength and fortitude, for your prompt recovery of your husband, for all those with COVID, for all those intentions. Lord, I lift him up to you. I unite him to everyone who's now writing to me and to everyone who's now on hold with me. And we just ask, oh, divine physician, for your healing touch. That's what we ask. Ask for good test results and prompt recoveries for anyone who's got a face surgery. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Lynn is next. She's praying in St. Charles, Illinois. Hi, Lynn. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Drew. And tomorrow I'm going to have a biopsy on my cyst on a pancreas, and I'm asking that it's negative. And I also want to pray for two people that I know that are approaching the end of their life.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll pray for them right now. We'll pray for good results for you, okay? Another medical concern, Lord, we bring before you. I do pray for those who are facing their final moments, Lord, that you will meet them as a merciful Savior. I know the promises you've given to St. Faustina and to all of us through this beautiful prayer of the chaplet. And we pray for peace to come to that soul, protection against the wickedness and the snares of the evil one who will try to rob them of their final joy and their final moments. And Lord, we just entrust these souls to your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Maggie's been monitoring the Twitter account at Drew Mariani Show. Go ahead and put your petitions there too if you can't email them or you can't get through on the phones. And Maggie will do her best to bring them to air. Maggie, who are we praying for today?
Well, Drew, we got an email earlier today asking for prayers for Father Dave, who's apparently battling pancreatic cancer. There's lots of people in this parish that have been reaching out to us saying, please pray for a miracle to heal him of this disease. He's an awesome priest and loved by many. So he's on his second clinical trial and doing the best that he can. And also, I wanted to just shout out, many people within the last 10 minutes have replied to us saying that they would like to pray for JR and her family, and also for Nellie and her family. Victoria is asking for prayers for her daughter's troubled marriage. She says it's beginning to affect their three small children. Please ask that the Holy Spirit and Mother Mary guide them moving forward. They need prayers. Rhonda's asking for prayers for her friend's 16-year-old granddaughter, E. She has heart problems and cannot do surgery until the school year's over. So for now, she's got to remain on meds and just be monitored by doctors. So let's pray for her healing. And then Corinne's asking for prayers for her mental health. She says she feels like she's under attack lately. And PK is asking for prayers for all the bishops gathered in Baltimore, and asking, may they follow the Holy Spirit and the Holy Father's lead.
Yeah, that's a great prayer. Thank you so much, Maggie, so much to pray for. And I hope JR and I hope Nellie's parents are listening, knowing that they're not alone, that we are one big family here. We love and care and pray for each other. And that's special. I mean, it really is. There's such a power and such a beauty in this prayer. We may not know each other, but we were all chosen to live at this particular moment in time. We're all making our way towards eternity, where we'll be together and with God forever, without any boundaries, without any separations, without any limitations. So, Lord, I just give you all those intentions that, of course, Maggie has just voiced, all those who are writing, all those who have posted, all those united with me. And I want to bring Jim into the conversation as well for this third decade. And Jim prays with us in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Good afternoon, Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. I have a couple times before, and my son is really struggling with anxiety and insomnia. That's kind of started all with the COVID-19 with the homeschooling and everything. And so he's been working with his nurse practitioner who's reached out to try to get a sleep study for him, and he was denied that. Then she tried to reach out to the Mayo Clinic for some consultation work there, and he was denied that. And it's just, we're just kind of really wondering what's going to take to help him. And I know his wife is really concerned, too. We just need to have some kind of a breakthrough. My wife is up there this week trying to help out with the family. And I'm sorry for breaking up here, but it just we're kind of desperate right now.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, as a parent, my heart goes out to you. It really does. But I'm sorry. You know what? We're going to pray now. I know you're a believer in prayer, Jim. I know you are. I know that you've prayed here before. You're a good man. And I love a man that's not afraid to show his emotions either. And God wills only our good. If you're going through a difficult time, I know you're wondering, why is God allowing this to happen? When's the break going to come my way? Just meditate on the fact that God loves you. He loves your son. He loves your family more than anybody else can or does. And that he will never abandon you. He will never, ever abandon you. You will not perish. Trust me, that God is with you, and he'll bring you through this. All the saints knew this. This is one of the great tests of life. My wife and I were recently talking about this, and there was some situation that came up with an extended family member. And everybody, all my siblings, they were all getting all concerned. And I said, look, I refuse to worry. I refuse. I'm just going to trust in God. And there comes a peace when we do that. So I know it's hard to do when you're in the storm, but that's when we're called to do it more. And the more you trust, the more you receive. Because I think anxiety is, you know, it's kind of, how am I going to say this? I think it short circuits our faith and our trust. You know, and I think the more we trust, the more we receive. Let's pray for you now. I know it's hard. So we want to pray for you now. I'm going to do that. Lord, I pray for deeper trust and faith personally so that I will never doubt you, that when I face the storms of life, I can navigate them with my eyes set on you as my beacon, my light. And I pray that for Jim and for his family and all those who seem to face just cruel and unforgiving circumstances. And I know your mercy is greater than all of this. And I thank you for the gift of the chaplet for allowing us to pray for each other. And I just ask that your mercy flow as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next call now. Bill is listening in New Jersey. Bill, good afternoon. Thanks for praying with us today.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you so much for answering my call. I'm honored to be on here. I listen to you all the time. A prayer, please, for my son, who just got married about a month ago. They're having problems already. Just heard about it a couple of days ago. Some infidelity from my own son's side, and it's just amazing. I couldn't believe it. My wife and I are devastating. We're all devastated, and the wife now, she's contemplating, you know, what she's going to do next, kind of thing. But our daughter-in-law, and I just, I need prayer. They need prayer right now. My daughter got married, you know, and lasted 2 years, and she divorced. So we're kind of like, what's going on here, you know? And then a personal attack on my own personal life as well. The last three years. So I need prayer for myself, for my wife, and my family.
Well, brother,
I'm praying for everyone.
I'm glad you got through, Bill. I am. I'm glad you got through here. Yeah, sometimes when we're in these difficult times, it's hard to pray, especially for ourselves, especially for our kids. I think we suffer even more sometimes for what our kids are going through, and there's not a whole lot we can do other than just pray. But divorce is tough. You know, it destroys not just that relationship, but the ripple effects go out into the families and to the children so often. And I want to pray right now for your son. I want to pray for, Lord, anywhere where there's infidelity, and this can be, you know, this marriage can be healed. I believe that it can. And Lord, I pray for all those who enter into marriage, aware of the sacramentality of it, that have these valid marriages. I just pray for the grace of that to strengthen the bonds of their matrimony, to help them rise above the temptations and the challenges, the shortcomings of their human nature. And I just ask for healing where it is now being sought. And I pray for Bill, who has his own personal attacks and shortcomings, and pray for his daughter and his whole family. Satan hates the family. And I'll be real clear on this. I mean, when I hear these testimonies, I mean, he hates it. He told Saint Lucia de Santos in an interview with a bishop once, Cardinal Carfara, she said, the final confrontation, it will be over marriage and family. That's what Satan is going to rage the war over. His family is a reflection of the Trinity and of God. And he wants to divide and destroy it. And we see that whether it's in the womb or whether it's through divorce or at the end of life. And Lord, I ask for your mercy and for your protection. I know good conquers evil. So I pray with that trust, that confidence, that faith, that you will bring about these transformations that these individuals need, but also that we as a nation need. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our fifth decade, Tom, is calling in from Malibu, California. Hi, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to pray for a cousin of mine who's dealing with inoperable colon cancer. I'd like to pray for a miracle healing for her. And I also ask that she returns to her Catholic faith, and likewise for my six children, for them to return to their Catholic faith.
Amen to that. You're not alone, Tom. A lot of people are praying for that attention. We'll pray for your children, pray for your cousin with colon cancer. Let me sneak another call in here, too, and we'll pray for you, Tom, your intentions, along with Maria, who's in Connecticut. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Hi, Drew.
Hi. Yeah, go right ahead, Maria. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I just want to pray for prayers for my sister that she has lung cancer, and it seems it's metastasized. She's right now making her PET. It's been a long trip because it's been two months waiting for it. And my son that has an angioma in brainstem, and it's not, they cannot do anything about it. And it's been there for long. And my nephew that he has a big problem with drugs. And that's all, I think.
All right, Maria, I'm glad you got
through. Right now.
Big prayers for him. Big prayers for you, too. All right, thank you for interceding. I want to pray for your sister with her cancer, your son with his tumor. Lord, you're bigger than cancer. You're bigger than addiction. I pray for freedom from addiction. I ask you to shrink tumors and eradicate cancerous cells. Lord, I lift up those who are struggling with addiction, those who are homeless. I want to pray for those who are traveling, those who right now are facing medical procedures. Lord, I want to pray for those where there's infidelity and abuse in relationships, those who have been violated by rape or molestation. I want to pray in particular, Lord, for those who reject you, who are thinking about harming themselves or destroying the life that you've given them in the womb. I pray for our priests, our bishops, our cardinals, for the souls who go before us. And I give you the intentions of the heart of everyone now united to me in prayer. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy in a special way. Let them feel your warmth and your presence and your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, Saint Margaret of Scotland,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nick, thank you for praying with me. Good to have you. Thank you for praying with me also. I have to take a short pause, but when I come back, we'll talk more. Dr. Paul Kengor is stopping by. Boy, there's a lot to get into. So we'll get into that and more right after us. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, classic, huh? Good to be with you today. Thank you for praying with me in that last half hour. Send me those emails, those intentions, and put them on Facebook or Twitter. Twitter's probably a good place to do it. Maggie monitors that every day. And we're just glad to spend time with you, to pray with you, to look at life with you, take a look at what's unfolding in the culture. One of the things I've not done recently is just really break down what's happening politically, and you're probably glad. We've had a lot of politics, you know, leading up to the election, and gosh, can you believe we're already approaching Thanksgiving? Is that not wild? I mean, think about the beginning of the year and the inauguration. Vice President Kamala Harris, let's talk about her, too. I saw her approval ratings. The president's ratings are really low, too, right? Kamala Harris's, though, the latest poll numbers show her rating are a mere 27%. The president, not doing so good himself. The latest ABC Washington Post poll shows his job approval rating about 41%, with the majority of people, 53%, disapproving. The poll also shows that if there were an election held today, right, 51% of registered voters would say that they would vote for the Republican candidate for Congress. That's a shot across the bow, I think, of a number of Democrats, and the midterms are right around the corner. And what's the big driver? Well, according to the poll, 71% say the economy just stinks. It's lousy. And only 39% approve of how the president is handling this. So, yeah, I'm throwing those numbers at you just to give you the temperature of the country, give you the heartbeat of what's going on. Where are people? That's not my opinion. I'm giving you a couple different polls as to how the nation now, they kind of have buyer's remorse for where we are and what's going on. You know, inflation is on the rise, your food, your gas, everything's, on its way up. You had the Afghanistan debacle. You see what's happening on the southern border. You see what's, taking place in terms of our schools. And look, the litany goes on. And on the policies that they're passing, the attack on life, I could talk for an hour just on that. But what are the implications of this? I mean, is there light at the end of the tunnel? How do we get out? You know, we're a year away from the next congressional election, and again, in the world of politics, that's an eon, right? It's an eternity. A lot can change in that time. The expectations right now at the moment is that Republicans are going to retake the majority in both houses of Congress. And in fact, a number of Democrats say, we're going to bail out of our office at the end of the terms. We're not running, they don't want to run for reelection because they know they're probably going to get lost or get hammered. But here's an interesting rumor that I've heard. Okay. There's a guy named Chad Pergram who said he received a cryptic note from somebody in Congress telling him to brush up on what happens when Congress needs to approve a new vice president. What? That has not happened since 1974 when Nelson Rockefeller was chosen as vice president for Ford, Gerald Ford. Remember that? Became president after Richard Nixon resigned the nation's top office in disgrace. I'm not a crook. But as far as I know, no president has ever gotten rid of his vice president in the middle of the term. I always wondered why they chose Kamala Harris, and I'm going to bring Dr. Kinger on for his analysis on this, because if you remember the primaries when they were underway, I mean, she got crushed in early on in Iowa and New Hampshire and places like that. I mean, she attacked Joe Biden in the debates. The next thing you know, he's choosing her as a running mate, not Pete Buttigieg, no one else. He chose her. And again, her poll numbers right now, 27%. There's, I think, some rumblings within the White House, but we'll talk about it. Of course, it's not just the economy. It's all those other issues. Like I said, school boards, gender theory, critical race theory. It's driving people to go against the prevailing cultural, orthodoxies of our day. I'm joined today by Dr. Kengor, and I've invited him to give us some perspective on it. You're more than welcome to join the conversation, too. I'd love to have you join me. Dr. Kengor is the author of a number of books. His latest is The Devil and Karl Marx, a great read. Everyone who I know has read it says you got to get it. So check it out. Doctor, good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Good to be back.
Let's talk about what's happening just in terms of this rumor, because that's really what's most intriguing to me. We know that the president and vice president numbers are really low. Why would Joe Biden want to get rid of Kamala Harris? Or is it somebody else who's pulling the strings? The president may not finish his term, so we replace the vice president now. So if the president, they issue the 25th Amendment, they remove him for some reason, let's say, they can put in Pete Buttigieg as president or vice president or whatever. Give me your take on how that might all shake out.
Well, so Kamala Harris and really everybody else around Joe Biden have pushed him to the left, which we knew that they would do. And I remember you and I talking about when he chose her as his running mate back, almost 2 years ago now. And we were shocked. Far and away, the most far left, most ideological, and probably the most unlikable among everybody among all the Democrats who were running at the time. But Biden had committed to the idea of picking somebody who was African American and female as a running mate. And that had left him with what on everybody's list maybe about five different candidates. I liked Susan Rice. I thought Susan Rice has to be the pick here. I mean, Susan Rice is respectable. She's level-headed, much more careful, much more likable. Kamala Harris is a lightning rod. I mean, look what she did to our friend David Dalyden in California. What she did to David Dalyden.
Yeah.
It persecuted him. Remember what she said about the Knights of Columbus? During the Brett Kavanaugh's hearing, I think, and asked about his membership, but what did she call it, Drew? Something like this all male organization, right? This like
the
all male
Columbus, yeah.
Secret society, yeah. Right? Yeah, it's called the Knights of Columbus of all things.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she didn't have a smile but a scowl. And when he picked her, I thought this may have cost him the election. But it didn't, and now people are looking, and everyone is saying, there's no way this guy is going to last 4 years. He's not going to run again in 2024. His presidency has been really bad. He's got the lowest approval ratings of any president at this point in time. I mean, you got to go back a long time, especially among Democrats in particular. And who's he going to be replaced by? Well, probably Kamala Harris, and that doesn't reassure anybody. So I'll kind of wrap up and say this, Drew.
He and
she and the Democrats are really lucky that the midterms are not happening right now, because I saw data today that if the midterms were held right now, the Democrats might lose 70 seats. And the Republicans, are already just a handful behind them. Yeah. So this would be 1994 all over again, but even worse. So it's it could be political Armageddon for them. They should thank their lucky stars that the midterms are not this November, but not until November 2022.
That's absolutely amazing. You talk about a red wave. That would be something else. You know, when Joe Biden decided to choose Kamala Harris simply because of color, race and gender, nobody said anything about that. I mean, why not choose the best candidate? But again, it was race and it was gender that was the most important thing for him. In terms of
Drew? Martin Luther King Jr.? He said people should be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And where we are today with choices like that, with critical race theory, everything else is, and this is happening among the political, cultural, ideological left in particular, they're basing everything by group identity. They're not looking at people, the Judeo-Christian, Catholic conception of the world, human beings made in the imago Dei, in the image of God, right? We're looking at us each as individuals, as children, individual children of a loving God. They're hammering everybody into categories, right? According to race, according to gender. Critical race theory does according to race. Gender theory does it according to gender. Look at one of Biden's picks, Rachel Levine from Pennsylvania, right? The first transgender secretary. It picked and promoted to five-star general or whatever. That's an LGBTQ issue. Everybody is so sick of this, so tired of this. And I think the Democrats and Biden are finally starting to pay for it in their approval numbers and at the polls.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor, if you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. A lot going against this administration right now, and people are frustrated. And I do think you'll see a change. But like I said, when it comes to the world of politics, a year from now is an eternity. That's a century. People have short memories when it comes to politics. I want to talk about what you see coming. But before I do, because I'm getting close to a break, if for some reason, and I don't know how they would do this, how do you remove a vice president? Who would they replace her with? And is that a strategic move then, because those who are behind the scenes think that Joe Biden won't last another 3 years, that will now be their lead to run for re-election ultimately and become the next president?
Well, I actually wrote a book on the vice presidency. It was my first book. No one read it. It was my dissertation. but it can be done. I mean, with Nelson Rockefeller was an example of that. But it's not going to turn around Biden's numbers. And in fact, I wrote a piece for Crisis Magazine. It's posted right now. It's called "The Abortion States of America," and I talk about what Joe Biden's radicalism on the abortion issue. I mean, we always knew, Drew, that he was pro-choice, right? But we didn't think he was as bad as Hillary Clinton on the issue, as bad as Barack Obama on the issue. And here we have this Texas heartbeat bill, which, praise God, may finally be the bill that can reverse Roe v. Wade, that can limit abortions. And here comes our Catholic president, who promises to throw, quote, the whole of government, unquote, against the Texas bill. He says he's putting his best lawyers at DOJ and HHS against this. And people like the Catholic governors of New York and California, Kathy Hochul, Gavin Newsom, promising to make their states abortion destination centers if abortion goes back to the states, and certain states like Texas limit it or yeah, ban it. So to see Biden leading the way on something like this, for Catholics who voted for him and are getting this, it's very disconcerting. Add into that, like you said, Afghanistan, supply chains, inflation, and I got to add here, Drew, too, COVID mandates, right? COVID mandates, yeah, including for people like me who have natural immunity that gets ignored and not even talked about. That, I think, is probably really angering people when it comes to Biden, probably more than any other issue.
And my guest, Dr. Paul Kenger, I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll take a few of your calls. We still have a lot to get into. We'll take a look at these abortion states. Doctor, I know you just wrote an article on that. We can take a look at what the Democrat Party has to do to save some seats, Kyle Rittenhouse, and more. So much unfolding. It's always good to have Dr. Paul Kenger with us. Stay with me. We'll be back right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Well, thanks for joining me today. It's good to be with you. Just putting our finger on the pulse of all that's happening across the country, from the changing attitudes of Americans regarding those in leadership. Do you have buyer's remorse? You might. I don't know. To what's happening on our border, inflation. We've been monitoring the Kyle Rittenhouse case. And, of course, one of the big issues coming up in December, the Supreme Court's going to be looking at the Dobbs case. That will get a lot of discussion. I personally believe Roe v. Wade in this country will fall. I do. Well, the battle, of course, then goes to the state level. And there are some states. In fact, there was a great article today written by Dr. Paul Kenger called "The Abortion States of America." Right? The Abortion States of America. And you look at some of these people, like Governor Newsom in California, or Governor Hochul in New York. Dr. Kenger, these are two coasts, right? The opposite ends of our nations, two very populated states. In fact, the two most, if you think about it, the number one and number two, they stand as poster children, if you will, for the new abortion front. And I think those who are blinded by, indoctrinated in, worshiping at the altar of the culture of death, they're getting ready. They know Roe will fall, and things are going to change. And Doctor, I appreciate your article. It's good to have you here with us today. I'd love you to maybe talk a little bit about that Roe v. Wade, the so-called abortion rights decision that was made by the Supreme Court in 73 is facing challenges unlike any time before. And most people that I've spoken to said the law is just bad law. Things have radically changed our understanding of the science, and that Roe's probably going to fall. But why don't you take it from there? What looms in the not-too-distant future for the future of abortion in this country?
Yeah, and Governor Kathy Hochul, who's the new pro-choice Catholic governor of New York, who replaced Andrew Cuomo. And if you can believe it or not, Drew, she's actually worse than Cuomo on the abortion issue. And she says abortion access is safe in New York. To the women of Texas, I want to say I am with you. Lady Liberty is here to welcome you with open arms. We will help you find a way to New York. And we are right now looking intensely to find what resources we can bring to the table to help you have safe transport here. And she even says, Drew, this includes birthing persons as well that she's including. I am proud that New York is leading the fight to ensure that every woman and birthing person has access to abortion care. So that's a Catholic. That's a Catholic governor for you. And she and Gavin Newsom in California. California is a state where Congressman Ted Lieu, who's another pro-choice Catholic, said to the bishops, he said, quote, next time I go to church, I dare you to deny me communion. I dare you to deny me communion. So what they're all looking at is that, and this is what Robert Bork tried to tell Senators Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy over 30 years ago, which is that the U.S. Constitution says nothing about abortion. Abortion is not mentioned. Abortion, which is based on a right to privacy in the Constitution. Guess what? Look it up. The word privacy doesn't even exist in the Constitution. Yeah. Bork said the federal government is silent on this. This should be turned back to the states. Let states judge this. And so that's probably what's going to happen. And there's the Guttmacher Institute says that if the Supreme Court overturns Roe, there are 26 states, Drew, that are certain or likely to ban abortion almost immediately. Now, that's great news, and it means that states like New York and California are stepping up. And if you really want to know, and I lay this out in this piece for Crisis Magazine, which states are going to become abortion states, well, it's pretty easy. You go to the political map of recent presidential elections, look at the blue states, look at the red states, look at the Democrat states, look at the Republican states, and basically the Democrat states, especially on the West Coast and Northeast, right, states like Washington State, Oregon, California, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, they will become abortion states. And states in the South, Midwest, with the exception of Illinois, because of Chicago, those states will become pro-life states. So if you're a pro-life Catholic in a state like New York or New Jersey, just be ready. Your states are going to be Connecticut. They're going to become destination centers for abortion. They're going to become abortion states. And sadly, many of these abortion states are run by Catholics, by pro-choice Catholics. And that's something I would say for our bishops to consider, as right now they're considering the issue of whether or not to provide communion to pro-choice politicians. This ought to affect that decision by them. We'll see.
So what do you think is going to happen? Let's just look ahead just for a moment. I personally, and I probably bet on it, I could be wrong, but you know, I think the Supreme Court, when they look at Dobbs, they're going to defend life. I don't think we're going to hear their decision probably to their last day in June when they go in the recess. If abortion as we know it in the country falls and states become, you know, either states that promote it or promotes who that prohibit it, will we see abortion tourism? That's one of the things they talk about. I know Hochul was willing even to pay to have women come up and terminate their children. What do you see happening after this? Because it'll go to the state level in terms of the fight, but how will the dynamic of abortion in the country change?
Yeah, in fact, my colleague Ann Hendershot at Franciscan University in Steubenville, she wrote a piece for Crisis. In fact, I'm following up on her piece about abortion tourism. And states like New York, which in the past, pre-Roe versus Wade, New York was offering abortion tourism packages. You know, come to New York. Come to glorious New York. You want an abortion? Come here. Come here. And that's what the current Catholic governor is looking to resurrect, right? We will help you provide safe transport. By the way, which is an amazing thing for a Catholic to say, right? I mean, yeah, right. I run into pro-choice Catholics a lot who say, well, you know, I'm personally not in favor of abortion. I'm reluctantly pro-choice. I think it should be legal. I don't support it. And by God, I would never help a woman get an abortion, right? That would cross the line. I wouldn't personally do it. I wouldn't help someone do it. Governor Kathy Hochul is saying, we'll help you do it. We'll arrange transportation for you. You know, we'll get you to the clinic. We'll get you to the hospital. we'll take care of everything for you, baby, right? We'll do it all for you. And which, again, begs the question of you know, Pope Francis has called abortion murder and homicide. If you can't be denied the Eucharist over something like that, right. I don't know what you can do to be denied the Eucharist over.
Well, we'll talk about it more in the future. We're going to post your article, by the way. We'll link over to that Crisis Magazine article on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. Maggie's put that up, and I don't know whether we have it on Facebook. She might do that too. But the article is called The Abortion States of America by Dr. Paul Kengor. Doctor, thank you. Always great to have you here with me. Keep up your good work.
Thanks, Drew.
Stay
Anytime.
With me.
Thanks.
All right. God bless you, brother. I'll be right back.